Good to see everybody present with us, especially good to see the visitors with us. As was mentioned earlier, not necessarily counted as usual visitors, but it's so good to have you with us. These days, there is a lot that's being spoken of concerning the border, and some things coming up that could cause some real issues in connection with the border that we have, especially to the south. And so I thought about this in connection with things that were spiritual. And I've entitled the lesson, The Borders of the Kingdom. And when we think about the kingdom as presented to us in Scripture, we need to understand that the kingdom that is described in Scripture is not for us a physical kingdom, but rather it is that which is spiritual. The word kingdom, basileia, refers to royal power, as we see in the Psalms 145 and verse 13. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. That is his royal power that is in reference here, not into a physical kingdom. When we look at it in John 18, verse 36, the kingdom is mentioned by Jesus just before he goes to the cross. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight. Here is speaking about the right or authority to rule over a kingdom, the rulership in connection with kingdom. The royal power of Jesus is mentioned, I believe, by Zechariah in the 6th chapter in verse 12, and say to him, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, the man whose name is the branch, for he shall branch out from his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. And there, that temple of the Lord stands for the royal power of Jesus, that he would be in control. Of the royal power and dignity conferred upon Christians are also within the context of the definition when we look in Romans 1 and verse 6. And made us a kingdom, that which is not physical, but rather the people. Made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father to him, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And also a kingdom, the territory subject to the rule of a kingdom, of a king rather. Hebrews 1 and verse 8. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. And then the reign of Christ or Messiah himself. As we see in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 24 and 25. Then comes the end. When he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and every power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. Jesus in that subjective posture being Messiah or Christ for us as long as time is. In the office that he holds as Messiah, in that office that he holds as Christ. Again, the kingdom is spiritual. Luke 17, verse 20 and 21, Jesus points that out. He says to them, now when he had was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. So as we think about kingdom, this kingdom that's presented to us in Scripture, it is not about a physical kingdom. When we're talking about, of course, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, but rather is that which is spiritual. But in connection with kingdom, the importance of borders is truly presented to us. And we see that in Scripture in Deuteronomy 19, verse 14. You shall not remove your neighbor's landmark, which the men of old have set in your inheritance, which you will inherit in the land that the Lord your God has given you to possess. There you have a border that is set, the landmarks that were set, the cornerstones that were set in properties to distinguish and to identify and to delineate that which was property, that which was owned. And it was an understanding that without those borders, you really have no distinction whatsoever. The same thing is true with a physical nation today. If there are no borders that are delineated, well, then there really is no nation. There's no nation whatsoever. When we look in Isaiah 60 and verse 18, violence shall no longer be heard in your land, neither wasting nor destruction within your borders, but you shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. And this going back, of course, to that which is messianic in nature, concerning that spiritual kingdom that would come through Christ Jesus. We look at Micah 5, verses 5 and 6. And this one shall be peace, speaking of Christ, again messianic in nature. When the Assyrian comes into our land, when he treads in our places, Then we will raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 princely men. They shall waste with the sword the land of Assyria and the land of Nimrod in its entrances. Thus he shall deliver us from the Assyrian when he comes into our land and when he treads within our borders. That delineation once again that is there. Zephaniah 2 and verse 8. I've heard the reproach of Moab and the insults of the people of Ammon, which they have reproached my people and made arrogant threats against my borders. That which God has set up, which would be the delineation between other people and the people of God, that was under, of course, prior times. Isaiah 26 and verse 15, we see the increase of borders, the expansion of borders that is mentioned here. You have increased the nation, O Lord. You have increased the nation. You are glorified. You have expanded all the borders of the land. But we see in connection with that, that is God's work and not men. And that really is a premise to the message that I want to give this morning in connection with borders. Again, when we think about the borders, the physical borders of a nation, if there's not a delineation, you really have no nation. If there's not a delineation of borders, really you don't have a country. And as we look at this, there are those that take spiritual liberty. As a matter of fact, I call it coups, so to speak. Attempts of coups against the kingdom of God to either constrict or to expand the kingdom or the borders of the kingdom that God has not given them authority to do. Let me point that out to you. In Mark 9:38-40. Now when John answered him, saying, Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name. And we forbade him because he does not follow us. But Jesus said, Do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is on our side. There was a finite view by the apostles, and John makes the presentation of that finite view of those that were with Christ. And they thought about themselves, and he thought about this close-knit 12 that was there, and that surely those were the only ones that were in Christ. That was the extent of the border that Jesus made as far as fellowship was concerned. But Jesus says, no, that's not the case. You don't forbid those that in my name are doing my will. It shows the authority that was given by him to those that would do his will, and is not an expansion of the border. It is not a constriction of the border, but it is within God's will. And then the same thing is true in Luke 10, chapter and verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them 2 by 2 before his face into every city and place where he himself was to go. There were others other than the 12, others other than that one that had been mentioned, of course, by John in Mark the 9th chapter. It was the 70 that Jesus had sent out. They were still working within the borders of the rule of God, the kingdom of God. They were in him. They were following him and doing his will. John 10, chapter and verse 16, Jesus says, And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. And Jesus is talking about the bringing in of the Gentiles. After his death, after that shed blood, so that all would have the hope of eternal salvation. You see, there are those today that would look at these verses and they place a completely different aspect, a different application than what Jesus is talking about. There's no expansion of the borders that Jesus is talking about. There's no constriction of the borders. It is the set borders that God has made. People will look at that and say, well, anyone that believes in the Trinity, which is not in Scripture, that word is not in Scripture, they are followers of God, they are accepted by God, so therefore there is the expansion far beyond what we read in Scripture, as long as there is the belief that there is the Trinity. And again, that not in Scripture. If they believe that, well, they're fine. You see, that expands beyond what God has allowed. That's the expansion by man. And then there's a constriction that you and I have to be careful about also on the other side of that, where we say, members of the Church of Christ are the only ones that's going to be saved. Well, God will make the eternal decision on that. So we know that only those that are in Christ are going to be the ones that are saved. God's the eternal judge on that. So we don't constrict the borders either. We don't do that. You see, these borders that are explained here by the Lord doesn't broaden or expand or constrict. It defines those borders. And that's God's determination. Isaiah 2 and verse 2. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, and they shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. That is, all nations shall flow to the rule of God. And that's what is being spoken of. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those that are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. There you see the borders are set. The borders are set, and they're set by God, not by man. The borders are fixed by God. It's directed. When we look in John, the 4th chapter, verse 23 and 24, concerning the kingdom, it says that true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. There you have the border that is set in connection with being pleasing to God. God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And that is set forth by God. It's directive. This does not constrict, broaden, or expand the borders. It defines the borders. That is that spiritual worship in order to be pleasing unto God, to be accepted by God. It's fellowship. Is also a border that is fixed. When we look in 1 John 1, verses 6 and 7, and we'll go back to verse 3 in just a moment. If we say we have fellowship with him, that is God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in light, we have fellowship with one another, that is, us with God, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. We have then that vertical relationship. That is the border that is set by God in walking in the light. If you walk in the light, you have that fellowship. And then he says, that's that vertical relationship that is man with God. Then he says, when you go back to verse 3, that which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. There we can then have that horizontal relationship with one another. Those that are walking in the light. That's a border that is set by God. It doesn't constrict, broaden, or expand the borders. It defines the borders, and that by God doing so. We also see its worship. That is the kingdom's worship. In Acts the 2nd chapter, verse 42, shortly after the establishing of the church on the day of Pentecost, it says about them, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking bread, and in prayers. When we look at that particular thought, that does not broaden or constrict or expand the borders. It defines the borders. True worship is that which was being done at that particular time, which is to be done at all particular times, because that is the worship that is God-given for each and every one of us to be involved in within the kingdom. The borders then are not expanded. Look at things. Think about what's taking place today. With entertainment, thinking about business and so forth, that is being involved in by churches and all, that's the expansion of borders. That is not by God. We see that doing his will in accordance with his doctrine, with his teaching, and that which is spiritual, that defines the borders of the kingdom. We also see its allegiance. The kingdom's allegiance is a border that is set. Acts 4 and verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Mentioned from time to time at the prison. Then when we first started going in there, the usual question that was asked was, well, what does the Church of Christ teach about this, or what does the Church of Christ teach about that? And after a period of time and teaching and so forth, I didn't have to give the answer to that because the brethren that were there gave the answer whenever that question was asked. And their answer to that question was nothing. The Church of Christ is not the source of authority. Christ Jesus, the Father in heaven, they are the source of authority. The same thing is true in connection with salvation. It's not a physical membership that makes us then accepted by God. But rather, we are in a membership, a covenant relationship with God, when we are in Christ Jesus and recognize that through him only then is salvation. Hebrews 12 and verse 2, we look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Its allegiance then is to Christ Jesus, the allegiance of the kingdom, and it is a border that is set. And you think about the things that are being taught today by people and by churches. There are dogmas, doctrines, manuals, catechisms, and so forth. That is really the delineation of the border of acceptance within that particular denomination. Well, first of all, the church is not a denomination, it is one. And secondly, as we look at this, within the allegiance of the kingdom, the borders are set that the allegiance is to Christ. That does not constrict, broaden, or expand the borders. It defines the borders in connection with allegiance. Same thing is true with this work. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. The edifying of itself in love, as we have done our studies as of late. There you have the work of edifying. The church is to edify one another. We see in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 9 that there is God-limited benevolence. God wants his own cared for, and we see that in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 9. And then also, those that preach the gospel, that the church supports the preaching of the gospel, and that is the work of the church. And when we think about that, that doesn't constrict, broaden, or expand the borders. It defines them. But man has gone beyond that. And they've built businesses, and they've gone beyond what is the three things that is given as far as the work of the church is concerned, and they have tried to broaden or expand the borders in connection with that, but you see, that is illegal. That's against God's will. The borders are defined in its work by what God has authorized, and that alone. We also see its borders are sacred, and God set them. When we look over to Numbers 3 and verse 38, I've got to figure out somehow to do this a little bit differently now, if I can. Moreover, those who were to camp before the tabernacle east, before the tabernacle of meeting, were Moses, Aaron, and his sons, keeping charge of the sanctuary to meet the needs of the children of Israel, but the outsider who came near was to be put to death. You think back to that particular principle that is involved here within this statement. That there was protection given, and those that would disobey, of course, were not following God's will as far as the set borders were concerned around the tabernacle that God had created to be served in by those that he had authorized to serve in. And the same thing is true with us today as we think about God's will and us serving God. We follow his will. We do as he says. And that is protection within those borders, and it is sacred. It is sacred. I've got to figure out now how to take that off. Please bear with me for a moment. There we go. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 2, Paul says, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you." The traditions that Paul is talking about here is not when or how many songs are sung in the worship service. He's not talking about when the Lord's Supper is served during the worship service. He's not talking about those traditions that men have set up, how many cups and so forth are used within the worship service. But he's talking about that which is in the borders set by God of the teaching that God gives through his word. And he says, keep those traditions just as I delivered them to you. And he says the same thing, or a very similar thing, over 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 13 through 15. We come down to verse 15. Stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. When we think about this, understand that God's word is extremely important for us to maintain that fellowship that we have with him, that walking in the light. We had a lot to say on that this morning in our class. And that the Word of God is important to the salvation of souls, because in disregard to the Word, there is then the disqualification of those that disobey. And Jesus had made the statement in John 6 chapter and verse 63 that the Word is life. It is spirit and it is life. And that is as far as the means of fellowship is with God. And we understand that that is the tradition that is set forth that Paul is talking about here in these two passages. We must live, work, fellowship, and worship within the kingdom's borders to be accepted as citizens. Ephesians 1 and verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. There are so many that want to teach that you need to accept Christ Jesus. It's exactly the opposite. We need to be accepted by Christ Jesus, and that by the will that he has given through his word. Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 22, we see that in these borders we can have citizenship. If we stay within the borders, if we are part of that kingdom, that rule of God, we can have then that fellowship with God, that citizenship with God. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you have in him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. And there he shows them that spiritual aspect of the kingdom once again in this. When we think about these things, we have a kingdom that has been given down to us, and we can be part of that kingdom. We can be part of the rule of God if we recognize the authority of God. What happens in today's world, and even among those that call themselves Christians, it's not about what the Word of God says. It's not about his authority. It's about what feels right. This just feels right. This is what we need to do. One group put it this way, in getting away from the authorized worship that God has ordained to us in song, and entering into the inclusion then of instrumental music, set a place at the table for all. Well, there's a table that we eat of, and we understand that from 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. I'm not talking about the Lord's Supper, but talking about the table that we eat of, the table of fellowship that we have with Christ Jesus. But all of it is defined within the borders that God has given through his word. And anything that is without the borders is not under the auspices of God's rule. When we stay within God's rule, well, then we stay within that delineation of what makes one a citizen, what keeps one in fellowship, where our allegiance is in order to be pleasing to him. We understand the things that are taking place in today's world, especially in our country with the borders, and the concern that is there. And it's a rightful concern. It's a rightful concern. Again, if you don't have borders, you don't have a nation. But especially so in the spiritual sense. If there's not those spiritual delineations of the borders that have been set forth by God, then anything goes. And it's left up to man, and God's authority means nothing. And his kingdom is really then overtaken. But his kingdom will never be overtaken. It will always stand. Our choice is whether or not we're going to be citizens in that kingdom. Maybe those in the audience this morning that are not children of God, would you like that citizenship? Where you're counted as family of God and citizens not only of a local group, but especially in heaven. The family of heaven. And that citizenship which is in heaven. Would you like to have that? Would that be special to you? And there's so many that don't give thought to that. And that's a shame. That we can have citizenship in heaven. And that there is more to this life than just working, living, and dying. Because you see, really and truly, we are immortal beings, made after the image of God in that respect. And we will live. We will either live to have that citizenship in heaven, or be found, of course, by God to be enemies against that kingdom. If you're not a child of God, will you render obedience to him today? Will you make a change in your life that says, I'll no longer serve self, but I'm going to serve God? You see, that's repentance. And what it means is, I don't know best, I don't know it all, and that I need help. And if you come to that point then, will you render obedience by being baptized into Christ, that in the likeness of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, you could go down into the waters of baptism. Nothing miraculous there, other than an obedience unto God. Because you see, you go down a sinner and you come forth then, cleansed, a saint of God, and forgiven. And will you do that? And then will you not stop, and this is for each and every one, will you not stop at that point? Because you see, the borders are defined by those that continue to follow within the rule of the borders. And that's what Paul talks about, of course, in Romans 12 and verse 2, that we give our bodies as a living sacrifice unto Him. And that we live our life for God. We live our life for Christ Jesus. And in doing so, then we maintain that citizenship within the borders of the rule, the kingdom of God. Will we do that? Or will we look to serve God on our own terms? Well, this just feels right. That's what I'm going to do. This is the way that I want to do it. It doesn't matter what God says. Let's make sure that we're in the kingdom and that we're safely within the borders, because being within those borders, not only citizenship, there's protection. There's protection. If there are those we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.